Good morning. Thank y'all for being here today at Beaver Creek. And if you noticed, my wife was the one walking the children out. I have clear instructions on my time limits today. But she'll tell you I don't always listen to her, so that's where I mess up. I spent it in a Bible study one night. A man knows when to listen to his wife when she gives good godly advice. And I try real hard, but I fail a lot of times. But anyhow, we're going to go as the Spirit leads us today, and we'll take it from there. But I'm going to do a lot of reading today, but I ask that you stand and as I read one verse. We're going to be in John chapter 4. We're looking at verses 3 through 26, but if you'll stand as I read verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you today. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. And Father, I thank you for each and every one that is here today. And Father, may we all seek you. May we all worship you. May we all praise you. And if, Father, anyone here today does not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, I humbly ask, Father, that they will come to know Christ before they leave here today. Father, you are the one in control of this service, not me, not us, you. And Father, we ask that you give us the words we need to hear. Father, I pray that you will use me, that you will speak through me, that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit, Father, so that I might be obedient to you. And Father, I pray that you will give us all the heart and the ears to listen to this service, Father, to these words, and we may apply it to our lives. And Father, that we may be in a closer relationship with you than we are right now. Father, I pray that you will provide, that you will bless. And Father, we commit this time to you now, and in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Again, I thank y'all for being here today. As Pastor Daniel and Michelle and the others are on the mission trip to Romania, I was honored to be asked by Pastor Daniel to speak today. And I know Satan has worked real hard to make sure that things got disrupted this week. But we are not going to give him any foothold or any control whatsoever. We give God the praise for it. But first and foremost, I would like to say God laid this message on my heart several weeks ago. And when Pastor Daniel was speaking to us and he looked at the congregation, he said he didn't see the passion in our eyes. And it really got me thinking, you know, am I worshiping the way that I should? And I heard the outline for this message from Adrian Rogers on BBN. And to the praise team, I would like to thank y'all. To God be the glory. Every morning at about 5:55, you can hear To God Be the Glory on BBN. And I'm thankful to hear that on my radio as I'm driving to work to different places right there. And that's some of my favorite hymns that I've heard today. And I'm grateful for that. But he provided the outline for this, and the Holy Spirit laid it on my heart to share it this way and to adjust it this way. And I pray that it will speak to you as it spoke to me. And let me go ahead and say, I might say the word you, and I really mean we or us, because God has already spoken to me several times on this right here and really made me think about what I'm doing in my life and how I'm doing it in my life. And so I want us to remember that it is us together here. But John chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, it says here, "So he came to a city of Samaria," meaning Jesus, "which is called," "he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria." And this is the direction God was wanting him to go in right here. And what we're talking about today is worship. Worship is the ultimate privilege. Worship is the greatest duty. And worship is our deepest need. We must understand these to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we think, why is worship so important? That's what Pastor Daniel, I think, was trying to share with us the other week. a couple weeks ago talking about worship. Why is it so important? And the one thing that we need to think on is we become like what we worship. If we worship idols, we become like those idols. If there's other things in our lives that's more important than God, we're going to become like those things. And they're going to have our focus. They're going to have our attention. That's what we're going to look at. And we don't want to be like that. Because if we worship Christ the way we're supposed to, then as Christians, as we are called, we can be Christ-like. And that is what we are called to do. And one thing that really stuck out at me in studying this, if we would focus this way, we would be better people if we worshiped better. And I really believe that. And that's what got my attention. If I worship better, Joe can be a better person. Joe can be a better Christian. And it's up to Joe. I cannot tell you what to do. I can't influence you one way or another. I can try to lead by example. But if I'm to worship God the way I should, then I can be a better Christian. And that is my goal, to be better than I was. And that's what I hope to do, and that's what I hope will come out in this message today. So don't hear me. Don't hear my imperfections. Don't hear my stuttering. Don't hear my misspeakings, because I know I'm going to. And I am not a greatly educated individual by any means. But I speak from the heart. And I pray that you will hear God's words through what I am saying. Don't look at the vessel. Hear the message, please, I ask. So, worship. Jesus, he was with his disciples. He had been doing great works. And he told his disciples, I need to go through Samaria. And Samaria, on his way to where he was going, was not the most direct route. It was not the best way to go. But he chose to go this way, and that we're going to look at this a little bit more in detail. This story is about a woman who had a wasted and ruined life. It's a woman who was the finished work of the devil's art. A woman who was on the trash heap of life, who had unsatisfied desires. A woman who went from affair to affair, marriage to marriage, and was unsatisfied until she found it in biblical worship. How many people do we know in our own lives, if not ourselves, are so unfulfilled, so in search of something, and we don't know what it is? And I'm here to tell you, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 again, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. And like I said, Samaria was not the best route to go. Geographically, it was around his elbow to get to his thumb. It was not a safe route. It was dangerous to go, because the Samaritans did not like the Jews, and the Samaritans did not care at all for Jesus. So why would he go this way? He went so he could meet with this one individual, and he could tell her about himself. And one personal note that I have on this that I want to share right now, we all have a divine appointment with Christ at some time in our life. Whether we realize it or not, we will have an appointment with Christ. And it might be through a church service like today. It might be through a friend or a co-worker who shares Christ with you. It might be through a life-altering event that takes place. But at some time or another, you're going to either have to accept or deny Christ. It is your choice. It is my choice. And friends, I'm here to tell you, it's better for us to do it in this life, this side of eternity, than to stand before God at the great white throne of judgment. We don't want that to happen. It is a terrible thing that's going to take place someday. And we need to meet with Christ now. This is the time to do it. So, anyhow, let me continue reading. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. And here's the point of emphasis starting now. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Again, worship is the ultimate privilege. Worship is the greatest duty, and worship is our deepest need. The problem happening in many churches today is that they're telling us the way to reach people is to be more man-centered than God-centered. Focus on what we want rather than what God wants. They're saying talk less about theology and more about people's wants. Talk about self-fulfillment, self-love, and that's how you can pack the crowds in. There's a lot of different churches nowadays that they will pack the people in, but their roots are not deep. And that is not what we are to be about. Our first responsibility is not to fill the pew, but it's to fill the pulpit. And I'm here to say, by God's grace and mercy, we have a pastor that loves him with all his heart and loves us too. And when he stands up here and preaches, he's preaching from the heart. He's preaching what God lays on his heart to share with us. And we are blessed to have a pastor who fulfills this in us. And we have to remember that and love him and support him. We have gone from theology to meology in America. We want to focus on me. And Americans want to use God instead of worshiping. Every time that you see a major event taking place, the churches are packed. We see them here, but then they start dwindling away again. People forget, oh, you know, what God means to us. Oh, I don't need him right now. It's okay. I'll go do what I want. I'll do what is important to me. Much of our worship is becoming more and more self-centered than God-centered, and that's why so many people are miserable. You think about it. People in this world today are miserable in so many ways, and they're miserable because their eyes aren't on God. And that's what was wrong with this woman right here. She was self-centered. She was miserable, and she was miserable because she had not understood true worship. And one major point also that I read in my study here, and it really spoke to me. It said, we will never be what we were intended to be. We will never know true joy. We will never know true fulfillment. We will never understand what life is about until we learn to worship. When we can worship God and have that intimate fellowship with him, then we're going to be happy in life. We're going to be satisfied. You know, whether we've got a small shack here or we've got a mansion, you know, it doesn't matter. Whether we've got silver or gold, only silver and gold I got, the silver in the hair and the gold on my ring finger right here. That's all I got. But if whether we got it, you know, we're going to be satisfied with it when we have that fellowship with the Father. God created us to worship him and to have intimate fellowship with him, and we are incomplete in our life when we don't have that. If you're searching for something in life today, I'm here to tell you, you can find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is here. It is here. You won't find it in anything else. You won't find it in any possession. You won't find it in any sport, in any activity, in any bank account, in any item. You will find it only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that this woman had been blinded by Satan. He had promised her so much. She had gone from husband to husband, from affair to affair, but her burned out life was a monument to the lives of Satan. How many people do we know in our lives that have been blinded by Satan, that have burned out in life because they've given in to what he has led them to do? We see some of that happen so many times. Only God is the answer. He is the only hope. She was looked down upon and considered a social outcast to the point to where she had to fill her water pots in the middle of the day. We all know that, you know, even around here, when it's hot in the middle of the day, you take a break, you come in. You know, even when we're working in the fields and tobacco, when I was a boy right there, when it got hot in the day, you took a break right there. You got back in it later on, but during that time, you stopped and you rested a little bit. But she had to come out in the middle of the day because she didn't want to be seen by anybody. She didn't want to be the object of gossip and whispering behind her back right there because she knew she was bound by sin. And she had even tried religion. She knew religion, and she even tried to talk religion, but she didn't know God. And her religion hadn't worked, but now Christ was going to share with her what we need to know today, the wonder of worship. How many of us have tried so many things and failed in doing these things, and then when we finally find Christ, then we know that it makes sense. What we're looking for is in Christ, and that's what I want us to talk about today. Three things, talking about true worship. The first one is the meaning of true worship. Verse 22, it says, "You worship what you do not know." You know, many people worship today, but it's vain worship. They don't know what they're worshiping, but they're trying to worship something. It's in us to worship, but they don't know what to worship. We see that an example is idolatry worship. Exodus 34:14, "For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." One of the names of God is Jealous. But isn't being jealous a bad thing? We hear that all the time growing up. You know, don't be jealous of this, that, and the other. Don't want what other people want. Well, for you and I, it is a bad thing. But for God, it's not. Because there's many other people. There's many other people in the world here. There's plenty of athletes, plenty of workers, plenty of individuals doing all kinds of different things, but there's only one God. And God says he will not share his glory with anyone else. He is the holy God. He is true. And we think, well, what is an idol? Anything that we put before the Lord God, anything that we love more, praise more, adore more, serve more, desire more, worship more, that's an idol. It can't be before God. He has to be first. Jesus said man cannot serve two masters. He'll love the one and hate the other. So we have to be careful about that. There's insincere worship. Matthew 15:8-9, Jesus said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me." On the outside it looks good, but on the inside is nothing. I was coming back from somewhere this week, and I had noticed a tree was just about split in half. And on the outside, the limbs looked pretty, plenty of green leaves, but when that tree had fallen, you could look in the middle, and it was totally rotten on the inside. Nothing to it. Falling apart. You know, on the outside, sometimes we look good, but on the inside, we don't have the heart for God that he's called us to have. And sometimes we'll sing different songs. We think about it, you know, "I surrender all." But we refuse to give to God what is rightly his, and we live only for self. Sometimes we'll sing the song, "Faith of Our Fathers, We Would Be True to Thee to Death." But we won't even bow our head in public to ask the blessing over the food. We're almost ashamed of God sometimes. So I'll go back to the question, what is true worship? It is the adoring of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is all that I am responding to all that he is. My body, my soul, my spirit responding to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And my will being lifted up to him in praise, adoration, and thanksgiving. I'm not doing what I want to do. I'm doing what he wants me to do. That is true worship right there, putting God before all else. And another interesting thing I learned in my study, it says our word worship comes from an old English combination of the words worth ship. It says we worship what we consider to be worthy. Revelation 5:12, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. If we want to know how we value God, we're going to see it in our worship. And that one hit home to me hard, people. How I worship shows how much I value God. And that has got to be an important thing in our lives. And if we easily miss the worship service, then we're saying God is of no value to us. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there's times where you're on vacation. There's times where you have to work. But if you can sit at home and say, I just don't care about going tonight, you're saying to God, God, you're not that important to me. And we have to remember that. If we feel worship is boring, we must check our heart, because if we have no desire to worship, then we're saying God is of no value to us. And sometimes we confuse the prayer of petition and the prayer of thanksgiving for worship. And while these are elements of worship, this is not actually worship. We think if we just cry out to God once in a while, if we thank God for what He's given us, then we've worshiped God. That's not always the case. There was a story that I heard. It was about a woman who was in a burning building. And she was on the second floor and nobody could get to her. And this firefighter, the rest of the fire crew came on the scene, and he got a ladder and he got up to her. And he reached that woman and he got her out of that burning building just in time and got her to safety. Well, later on, a few days later, she went to the firehouse to find that fireman and thanked him for what he had done. And after meeting him and talking with him, they started talking to one another more and more. And eventually they started seeing one another, and eventually they fell in love. And they came to know one another, and they got married and hopefully lived happily ever after. And thinking about it, you know, that is really how it is in our lives. When we cry out to God, it's like this woman crying for help on that second floor. And it's important to do that. And God hears us. Praise God that He does. But that's like the prayer of petition. And then when we are grateful to God, it's like that woman when she went to the firehouse to find that man to thank him in person. You know, that's like the prayer of thanksgiving also. But when she got to know him, she loved him for who he was, not what he had done for her. And that's what it is when we really understand what it means to worship God. We love God for who he is, not because he can give us what we need, not because he can save us from our sins. These are wonderful things. But we love God for who he is. That's when we're worshiping God. That's when we're being there in his presence. Worship is loving God for who he is and all that he is. We have to remember that. Number two, the method of true worship. Verses 21 and 23, through 23, he said, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and the truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." In this passage, Jesus said we must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And this was in response to her question when she said, where should we worship? You know, she said, hey, our fathers have worshipped here on this mountain, which was Mount Gerizim in Samaria. And the Jews say Jerusalem is where we're supposed to go and worship. You know, now where is the place to worship? Mount Gerizim on this mountain, or should we worship in Jerusalem? And in a way, it's kind of like asking whose doctrine is right, the Methodist or the Baptist right there. You just want to get in a spiritual debate. And it really doesn't matter, because I'm here to tell you right now, there's no Methodist, there's no Baptist in heaven right now. There's only saved souls. There's only Christians in heaven. She wanted to have a spiritual debate to try and make her point. Have you ever had that conversation with people before where they just want to argue with you? You know, just fuss with you? Mama, you didn't have to agree so much right there. As a teenager, I give my mom a fair share of silver right there, I promise you. But yes, you're absolutely right. You know, there's people that just want to argue with you. And that's what she was wanting to do now. It says the Samaritans focused their worship. What's the significance of these two places right here? Well, the significance is the Samaritans focused their worship on the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and the first place Abraham built an altar in Shechem, which was overlooked by Mount Gerizim. On Sunday night Bible study, we've studied this. That's just a plug for Sunday night tonight. They worshiped with a passion, but they worshiped ignorantly. They didn't know everything. They didn't understand everything. They were limited in what they understood. But they had a passion. The Jews believed all of the Old Testament. All the books, all the Psalms, all the prophets, everything. They knew everything about the Bible that was available to them. They could cross every T, dot every I, but they couldn't spell the word love. They were so rigid in their worship. Had to do everything just right. And they didn't have the truth. They had the truth, but they didn't have the Spirit of God. So one had the Spirit, but not the truth. One had the truth, but not the Spirit. And Jesus said the hour is coming when the location won't matter because you will have to worship the Father in spirit and in truth in your heart. That's where true worship takes place. It's in our heart. So what is the meaning of true worship in the method? It says in order to worship truly, first you must be regenerated by the Father. Jesus said you are to worship the Father. And how does God become your Father? You must be born into His family. Plain and simple. God is not like a father. He is the father. He is the standard for being a father. Some of y'all may not have had a good father. You may not have a good father now. I know I'm blessed in my life. I have a man who's not my biological father, but he treats me like his own son. And I'm grateful for that. I'm blessed by that. But I don't know about y'all in y'all's life, but God is the Father. He is the standard right there. And He is not our Father just because we're human beings. He is our Father only when we come to Him. Jesus said in John 8:44 to the Pharisees, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." We come to the Father only by Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And once we come to the Father, we then have His Spirit in us and we belong to Him. So my question to you right now is, do you know the Father? Can you say you belong to Him? If not, please make that right today. So first, we have to be regenerated by the Father. Second, we've got to be activated by the Spirit. It says we must be born again and we must be Spirit-filled. Ephesians 5:18, "Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you will be speaking psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord." Not in Samaria, not in Jerusalem, but in your heart. And it's the Spirit of God that energizes our heart. And if you have no desire to worship, I encourage you today to make sure that you are saved, if you claim to be, before you leave here today. Because it's possible to the point where, you know, you say, "Yes, I've had my salvation experience." You might be so backslidden in your life where you're not fellowshipping with God. You're not spending time with God. You're not being alone with God like you need to be. And it's affecting your life. It's affecting your family's life. You need to make sure about that. I encourage you to do that. That's between you and God. But I encourage you to check that out today to make sure. But we need to make sure that we are Christ, that we belong to Him. And when we are saved, we can't help but worship God. That is a natural thing in us. It's just like taking a breath. It's like needing a drink of water. It's like needing to eat. It is natural. When we are saved, we can't help but worship God. We can't be silent. Just like today, singing the praises and worship songs today. You know, I may not be a great singer, but I love singing to the top of my lungs right there. I enjoy it. I have a good time with it right there. And when I'm in the van all by myself, I sound good. Sound good. My wife has heard me. She will disagree. But you ask the question, okay, well, how can we be Spirit-filled? Well, when our desire is to glorify God and glorify the Son, you will be controlled by the Spirit. When our desire is to praise God, when our desire is to follow Christ, we're going to be controlled by the Spirit. It's there. You know, some people just want to sing. Some people just want to clap their hands. Some people just want to raise their arms up. They want to stomp their feet. They want to dance. They want to do all these different things. But you know, they're not doing it for the right reason right there. You know, they are doing it vainly. So we got to be controlled by the Spirit. And that comes under the third point I want to make right here. We've got to be regulated by the Word. You know, worship and praise is wonderful. But when we don't open our Bibles and study the Word in the worship service, we have failed to do what we've come to do. It is great to sing praises. It is great to sing songs. It is great to do all these things. But if we're not studying God's Word, we have failed to come before Him the way that we should. And that's why I'm so grateful that we have the opportunities we have on Sunday and Wednesday nights for Bible study, on Sunday morning with our Sunday school classes, being a part of that, to study God's Word, to dig into it, to learn more about it. That's where we really get close to God. And it is such an integral part of worship that we've got to study that. If we worship in spirit but not in truth, then we're considered like fanatics. And if we worship in truth but not in spirit, it's kind of like how the Pharisees were. But if we worship in spirit and truth, then we are worshiping Christians. We are giving praise to God, we're loving one another, and we're loving Him the way that we should. It says here in Psalms 145:18, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." So we've got to be regulated by the truth also. So we got to belong to God. We got to be spirit-filled. We got to be regulated by the Word. Now that brings us to my last point, and I should be on time here today, so I won't get in trouble with my darling wife. Number three, the motive for worship. Verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Our motive for worship. Did you come today searching for something? Did you come here looking for something? And if so, I can tell you, you can find it here today. It is in Jesus. That is here. But I want you to also be reminded that God came here today searching for something also. He is seeking for His people to worship Him. He is seeking for His people to love Him, to adore Him. God is a God of love. And what's the point of being a God of love if there's nobody to love? Or to have you love you back? What's the point in that? And we may ask the question, well, why in the world did God create us then? Didn't He create us to serve Him? No. He created the angels to serve Him. And they do a far better job than we do. You know, Christ, when He was on that cross, it says in the Word that He could have called 12 legions of angels to come down and take Him off that cross and destroy the world if He wanted to. He had that at His disposal, but He didn't. No, He created us to love Him, to worship Him, to be intimate with Him. And our love for Him and His love for us meets a great need in both of our hearts. God wants us to love Him. And when we love Him willingly, it pleases Him. And when we feel the love of God in our hearts, that's only when we're satisfied. You know, there's many things that happens in our lives, but when we know the love of God, that's the greatest peace you'll ever have. When you are walking with God in spirit and in truth, when you are with Him, everything else is okay. You know, this week, yeah, I had a bump up. Most of y'all have heard about that by now. And it really was an aggravation, and it really put a hindrance on how I want to control things. I have a shirt that the kids got me. You know, I'm not a control freak, but can I tell you the right way to do it? It's an inside joke right there, but yes, you know, it's the way I want to do things right there. But it didn't work out that way. But it's okay, because I said, God, I know You'll take care of it. I didn't get hurt. You know, praise God. Nothing else broke. Yeah, that's a real praise right there. You know, it could have been so much worse right there. I didn't get the ticket. You know, it was the other guy's fault right there. You know, I still got a job. My boss, you know, is like, hey, do what you need to. Take care of things right there. Everything's all right. It could have been a lot worse. But after things happen, I could sit there and say, thank You, God. It's okay. Because I have that peace from God that only comes from Him and nowhere else. Nowhere else. You know, that desire to fellowship with God was there. And He gives that to me. You know, He provides for me. And when we think about the worship service, you know, if music helps us to worship God, the praise and the worship like we did today, that's great.
If the preaching of God's word helps us to worship, that is wonderful. You know, but we are here today to worship God. That is our first and foremost focus right there. That is why we are here. And here's the other one that really got to me as I was studying for this. Not only do we come to worship, but we bring our worship. We bring our worship. I never really thought of it like this. And it's hard to worship on one day if you haven't been worshiping the previous six. A ball player, I love sports. Yeah, that's my thing. A ball player does not successfully go into the game on the event and not have prepared for it. You don't just pick somebody up off the street. Hey, you look like a big guy. You can play right tackle over here and put him in and expect him to do right. It doesn't work that way. He has to practice to get there. We have to be worshiping during the week, so when we come together, we are already in that mode. We're in that mindset. We are ready to worship. I want to end on a story right here, and it was a very sad story that I read. But it talks about a young baby's christening up north in the wintertime. And the family came together and friends came together to celebrate the christening of this young child and to celebrate it. And once the christening was over, they all come back to the parents' place, and they were eating and drinking and having a good time and just, you know, partying, just enjoying things. And finally somebody said, "Hey, where is the guest of honor? Where's the baby at?" And the mother's heart jumped, because she had put the baby in the back room in the middle of the king-size bed so he couldn't roll off. And she turned off the light so he could sleep. Well, in the dark, the people had come in and thrown their coats, their heavy winter coats, on that bed. And she went searching through those coats, and she finally found her baby smothered to death. And it's a sad story to tell. I hate to tell it. But how many times is that true in our worship services today? We come together on Sunday morning and we want to talk about yesterday's ball games. We want to talk about the race that's coming up this afternoon. We want to talk about what's been happening or what we're doing. We want to drink a cup of coffee. We want to participate in some snacks and some goodies like that. And we worry about activities and things that's going on. We got to repair this. We got to fix that. And we talk about everything else but worshiping God. He's smothered under our activities at times because we're not giving him his due place. We're not giving him his rightful worship that we should. And I'm as guilty as anybody on this. I'll come in the door in my mind with a list a mile long, thinking I need to do this, I need to do that. And I'm not thinking of worshiping God the way that I should. So like I said, folks, I was preached this before I ever started speaking to y'all. I've got to worship God the right way. I've got to come to Him. And an important thing also that I learned about this is that when we come together, we are to give praise. We are to give worship. And we give it individually, but we also give it collectively. Because when I come to church to worship God, I'm telling God how much I love you, and I'm telling my brothers and sisters how much I love y'all. Y'all are important to me when I come to church. I'm saying I want to forget about what else I'm doing. I want to fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to praise God with them. I want to sing songs. I want to pray. I want to come together with my church family. That's why it's important. And when we focus on that, then we are worshiping how we should. Now, everything I've talked about today, I really want to reemphasize. You know, worship is so important. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I just want to tell you quickly the plan of salvation as our musicians come forward, or however we finish up here today, getting ready to sing. But the Bible tells us that we have to belong to God. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every one of us have sinned. Every one of us has been separated by sin from God. Romans 6:23, it tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." in Romans 10:9-10. For you confess with your heart and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. You will be saved. You have to belong to God. You have to know Christ as your Lord and Savior before you can really worship. If you've never experienced that, I invite you to do that today. I invite you to come to this altar. You can either pray with me. You can pray with one of the deacons. If it's a lady, we'll have a lady to pray with you. We will do whatever we need to. And if you aren't worshiping God the way you know you should, I ask that you come down here and you make it right with God today. I encourage you to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word. And Father, I pray that I, here at Beaver Creek, will worship you always the way that I should. And I will worship you because I love you, because I want to know you, because I want to fellowship with you, because I want to be intimate with you, Father. I want you to know how important you are to me. Help me to always have that heart, Father. And help me to love my brothers and sisters as much as you love them, Father. Help me to go forward always in your name. And Father, I pray if anyone here today does not know Christ, that they'll make that choice today before they leave here. Father, take control of this time now. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.